Well, good morning, everybody. Before I start, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, by slowing the lives that we have, this hour, this day, in your presence, may we find our hope and our blessing. Amen. Today we continue our series, Growing Our Relationship with God Through Spiritual Disciplines. Taking our reading in Matthew on the parable of the sower that we've just heard, we are learning good habits that form the good soil in the fourth of the examples Jesus taught. This allows God to speak and the seed of his word to grow and form good fruit by way of our thoughts, words, and actions. As you know, I'm an ordinand at St. Mellitus College in London, and we have been learning about spiritual traditions. I enjoy studying the Bible, but we were encouraged to explore one discipline as the basis of writing a spiritual journal, and Lectio Divina was a different approach to reading the Bible for me. I journaled over several months, so I'm sharing my learning of the four stages of Lectio from four Psalms, when you would usually reflect on one text four times. This is not meant to be a practical session in how to do it. We would need far more time for that, but some reflections from my spiritual journal as I started from scratch. Lectio Divina from the Latin means divine reading, and the monastic practice was established by Benedict of Nursia in the 6th century before being formalized into four stages by Hugh of Victor in the 12th century. It may better be described as slow reading, and my reflections are structured around the four stages of Lectio, Meditatio, Oratio, and Contemplatio, which in English are read, reflect, respond, and rest. And as we always say before we start any form of prayer, we make ourselves comfortable, we begin with silence, and we pray, asking God to quieten our heart to listen, so we become aware of his loving presence. So our first reading, as we read the text. Eugene Peterson defines Lectio Divina as a way of reading that intends the living of the text, listening and responding. Richard Foster's description is a bit more numinous. The mind descends into the heart and both are drawn into the love and goodness of God. Pondering scripture slowly is a way of experiencing prayer as poetry, words that are personal or present for living. It's not about finding information in the Bible or gathering knowledge, but inhabiting the words of the text. Reading Psalm 18, I thought about how God draws us out of deep waters to himself, scripture's metaphors of deliverer and rescuer. With ever-increasing demands of work, I was struggling to balance this with life and study. My mind was chattering and murmuring, yet as I filled it with words of scripture, God seemed to say, "Don't worry, I'm with you." We often yearn to find God in the still waters of Psalm 23. But sometimes we have to get through the deep waters first. We often find that, like the project Elijah, we experience the earthquake, wind, or fire, and then find God in the sound of sheer silence. So our second reading, reflect. As you reflect on the Bible, you enter a world revealed as a connected whole, disclosing a personal God who not only reveals himself to people in history, but to ourselves intimately. During Lent, I meditated on Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? A text during evening prayer and also my psalm that week. As Eugene Peterson suggests, I used it as an entrance into prayer, and found not only an expanding interior to my prayer, like the Doctor's TARDIS in Doctor Who, but that I was more aware of what was happening around me. It struck me in Psalm 22 how Jesus identified with our humanity and our suffering, how the hiddenness of God was somehow present in Jesus' suffering, and how our suffering can be transformed by God, just as Jesus' suffering was. God works through our suffering, and we find him in the midst of it. Attending hospital for a routine appointment, I was able to speak to a couple who had travelled a long distance to a place unfamiliar and fearsome for them, hopefully lightening their mood. And then the third reading, respond. Responding to the text, I discovered in the words of P.T. Forsyth, Bible searching and searching prayer go hand in hand. The Psalms are not just a listening post for hearing God, for as Athanasius said, most scriptures speak to us, the Psalms speak for us. Eugene Peterson talks about the proper posture in prayer being less about reading a novel, curled up behind an open fire, or sitting politely in class, raising a hand to ask a question, rather engaging God where we are, whatever we are feeling, sometimes quarrelling or wrestling. Nothing human is excluded. It reminds us we're not in a cause and effect world of planned careers and secure futures, but a world of miracle where our prayers for the end of COVID are not a mechanical process of developing antidotes and social sequencing, but a real life of hope and possibility. My prayers for friends and family who have faced dangers as frontline workers during COVID have not always been polite or deferential. Indeed, the Psalms have been a two-way exchange. Psalm 50 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." And there's a reminder from Psalm 56 that God is not so taken up with the government of creation that he has no time for our prayers. "Record my lament," we read in verse 8. "List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" We are reminded by Richard Foster that the devotional life has mountaintops and valleys. As he says, "The heights are full of wonder, but in between those heights we may well travel together through shadow and valley and desert for months and even years. This is all part of what it means to walk with God." And so we come to our fourth reading of the text, rest. Resting in the text uses the words that have taken root in meditation to review our lives and enrich us in the activities of everyday life. We move from the read to the lived. The word of God is reborn in us and embodied in the ordinary and challenging reality of our lives. My practice of prayer has been informed by the notion of David's life as a lived human life, and the interaction between the Psalms and David's story in the Old Testament have given me a real insight into David's challenges and conflicts. This has made his songs of praise resonate, like Psalm 34. "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." As Eugene Peterson says, all the great words of praise come not from those who've never known suffering, but from those who have known God's help in it. As we went into lockdown, there was a social economic dislocation and a spiritual disruption to our lives. Desert hermits usually only leave their community to commit to a life as a solitary once they're ready. The social isolation was disorientating, and it felt like I was being unwillingly led into the desert, forced to become a temporary hermit. Perhaps Thomas Merton's words about the Psalms can help us in these circumstances. "They are bread, miraculously provided by Christ to feed those who have followed him into the wilderness. Back to our gospel reading in Matthew this morning, God is in the business of creating good soil in each of us, honing a depth of devotion that transforms us while instilling holy habits, developing a life that is authentic and stands the test of time. Then we will flourish and produce good fruit. So what sort of scriptures can we use when practicing Lectio Divina? Well, I would suggest all of the Psalms, Psalms 23, 34, 103 and 139 come immediately to mind. Any passage, the readings from last Sunday's worship, the possibilities are virtually endless, really. What about Moses and the burning bush in Exodus 3? What about Isaiah's vision of the Lord in chapter 6 of Isaiah? And indeed, Paul's meditation on Christ coming down from heaven to earth, incarnate as a human being, in Philippians 2. There's much you can do, much to choose from. Opening my mind to a deeper reading of Scripture through Lectio has directed me to focus, though, on a single word or formula. While reading the Bible helped me to make broader connections, it's much easier as you go about your daily business to focus on a single verse or phrase. In doing so, I've been encouraged in listening prayer through the biblical sayings offered by the Fellowship of Contemplative Prayer. And if all of this seems very difficult or time-consuming, you could try reading the booklet Be Still and Listen by Canon Adrian Esdell, a senior member of the Fellowship, who's distilled a number of short sayings from Scripture into a beautifully produced booklet with accompanying photographs. Though this is not technically Lectio Divina, this may be a way into prayer for you. And these booklets are available, if you're interested, on the website at St. Martin's Epsom. So that's St. Martin's Epsom, not Dorking. In conclusion then, Irenaeus said the glory of God is a fully alive human being. The glory of God is a fully alive human being. And I've been intrigued by the life of David, who said in Psalm 18, with my God, I can scale a wall. He was a shepherd and then became a soldier before he became king of Israel. I've learned to appreciate Lectio as a way of listening to God and also of participating in the life of God through the day. While reading translates into living, more of a habit than a technique. Quoting R.S. Thomas's poem, The Untamed, as you give attention to God's word and silence, so the silence holds with its gloved hand the wild hawk of the mind. Can we just remember that thought? The silence holds with its gloved hand the wild hawk of the mind. In this way, I've gained a better understanding of meditation as thinking on the words of God and contemplation as beholding the Lord. In other words, I am beginning to practice the presence of God.